From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Alaska's streams and rivers are the destination for both fish and people as salmon season ramps up. In Bristol Bay, seafood processors scramble to hire workers. And we'll check out what it's like to count more than a million sockeye salmon as they swim into the bay. But it's not all salmon this week. An Alaskan is hired by the National Marine Fisheries Service to oversee the country's recreational and commercial fisheries. And we'll finish up with a walk on the dock in Petersburg, where crab fishermen and the salmon fleet are gearing up. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
An Alaskan has been appointed to help manage fisheries nationwide. Chris Oliver will oversee recreational and commercial fishing at the National Marine Fisheries Service, which is under the umbrella of NOAA. He said one of his goals is to make long-term sustainability a priority for the billion-dollar industry. Sam Cotton is the commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He says Alaska is fortunate that Oliver is taking on this role.
Too often, people in Washington, D.C. don't have an appreciation or haven't been educated about the issues that take place here in the North Pacific. They have immediate and direct economic impact on Alaska. Even though the fisheries take place outside of 3 miles, they still use Alaska ports or harbors, and it's really important to Alaska. So we're really fortunate to have a person who's well-informed in that position.
Previously, Oliver worked on shrimp fishery management in the Gulf of Mexico. In 1990, he moved to Alaska, and he's been employed by the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council for the past 27 years. He was to have started his job this week at NOAA's headquarters in Silver Spring, Maryland.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
The hiring of thousands of seafood workers by Bristol Bay seafood processors is challenging. This year, some companies are looking more to the lower 48 to staff up, and the clock is ticking. KDLG's Allison Mollenkamp has more.
Seafood employers need to fill many seasonal jobs every salmon season. In general, that process remains the same year to year. Nelson San Juan is the Seafood Employment Coordinator for the Alaska Department of Labor. He says employers are leaning on state labor resources more than usual this year.
A lot of them are depending highly with the seafood unit because, they used to use this H-2B visa, and some of them decided not to use it, or for some reason they're not able to use that program this year.
The H-2B program allows U.S. employers to hire temporary workers from overseas. San Juan says employers who did decide to use the program ran into a problem.
The cap or the number of limits that the employers could hire was met much quicker this year than last year for the total number of workers allowed to work in the industry. So some of the employers are struggling for that reason.
According to U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, the H-2B visa program is capped at 66,000 employees per fiscal year. San Juan says employers have had to look for other areas to hire.
Some of the employers, they had this program that if their current workers are able to bring some friends or relatives to work with them, they have some bonus programs that they give to the employees.
San Juan says some seafood companies in Alaska are looking to lower 48 states with high unemployment to find their workforce. Each Bristol Bay company approaches their seasonal hiring differently. The manager at Peter Pan in Dillingham says hiring is the biggest challenge facing the seafood industry. Peter Pan applied for the H-2B program this year after using it successfully last year. However, due to a change in a returning worker exemption, they say they were able to hire just a handful of workers on the program this year and are now looking quickly to U.S. workers. By contrast, Alaska General Seafoods in Naknek tells KDLG they have never used the H-2B program due to its cost. With the fishery just weeks away, companies are still looking to recruit the labor force they need to process the world's largest harvest of sockeye salmon. For KDLG, I'm Allison Mullenkamp.
And while we're out in Bristol Bay, let's see what it's like to count fish. For some 70 years now, Bristol Bay salmon have been tallied from tall towers perched above tributary rivers. The Wood River Tower on the west side of Bristol Bay began its salmon escapement count at 12 a.m. on the 18th. KDLG's Nick Cellino was there as technicians logged the first of an estimated 1.5 million sockeye that will swim past this season.
A three-person crew of ADF&G technicians will alternate eight-hour counting shifts throughout this year's salmon run. The techs take a four-minute skiff ride from the camp on Aleknikik Lake to the two aluminum counting towers on the banks of the Wood River. There they climb the tower and tally the fish that swim by with a clicker. ADF&G Tech 2 Alex Piero took the first watch.
Yep, there you go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You see him? Just went right up that way, kind of cut out a little deeper. First fish of the season.
The counts are for 10-minute intervals, which are multiplied by 6 to approximate the amount of fish that swam up the river that hour. Techs skiff back and forth across the river to each tower to maintain one count per hour on each side of the river. This is Piero's second year on the job. He says techs develop a real skill for observing fish as the season goes on.
It gets pretty busy sort of later in the season. And when it gets real heavy, you're actually clicking like every 5 fish, you know, you're doing like a 5 count. But by that time, like, you've kind of trained your eyes well enough to know, you know, you could tell how many fish are in a group and you could see kind of the patterns they swim in a lot better.
He also says it's fairly easy to distinguish species as the fish swim by.
We'll count reds, the majority are reds, and we'll count kings, we'll count chums. Didn't get many pinks last year, but we'll see about this year. But it's generally pretty easy.
The Wood River Tower is one of 9 counting sites in Bristol Bay, funded by contributions from the state and various industry entities. The physical live count method was developed by the University of Washington's Fisheries Research Institute in 1956. Out of its total run forecasted of 5.5 million fish, 700,000 to 1.8 million are expected to make it past the nets and swim past the Wood River Towers. Most of them will do so in the next 4 weeks. In Dillingham, I'm Nick Cellino.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K-12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
The Petersburg Harbor was a hive of activity and excitement recently. Commercial fishermen scrambled to get everything done for the opener of the Southeast Dungeness crab season, salmon purseine season, and drift gillnet season. KFSK reporter Nora Sachs walked the docks to find out what's on the minds of some local fishermen and what it's like for the harbor to gear up for 3 fisheries at one time.
Nineteen-year-old Jordan LaPerry is busy pushing wheelbarrows piled high with little plastic bait jars up and down the South Harbor dock ramp. LaPerry's been fishing since the tender age of 6. He's done plenty of seining and gill netting, but crabbing is something new, and he is in high spirits.
I'm feeling great. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good experience. I've never been crabbing before.
The captain of the Nolan Michael, a family friend, needed a deckhand, and LaPerry needed a job. It was an easy match.
I wanted just to go seining, but then he said he wanted to go try dungy crabbing first before for about 10 days, a couple weeks or so, and see how many crabs show up. If none show up, we'll just leave, get ready to go seining, put the seine net on.
That kind of versatility is one strategy commercial fishermen use in the absence of a stock assessment survey for Dungeness crab in Southeast Alaska. They won't know how long they'll be able to crab until managers have a chance to track the harvest from the first week. At that point, state crab biologists will use those numbers, as well as a few other variables, to predict the total harvest and make decisions about whether to keep the season open the full length until August 15th or end it early. Connor Yeager is one of 189 registered crab permit holders, 86 from Petersburg. He was up on the crane dock, transferring hundreds of crab pots to his boat. He says the hardest thing about the round-the-clock schedule of crabbing is
probably staying awake.
Yeah?
Yeah, the physical part of it isn't so much. It's kind of the mental part, you know, just to stay awake for a couple days at a time and have the same pace.
How do you do that?
Coffee.
Yeah?
Lots of coffee.
He says it's also getting tougher to keep up with the rising costs of equipment, insurance, and just keeping the boat going. According to the Department of Fish and Game, the total Dungeness harvest for last summer was below their predictions, around 1.9 million pounds. But the prices were high, on average $3.03 a pound. And that's one of the reasons why, after a decade of crabbing, Yeager is still at it.
We get the same price for crab that we did last year, and their predictions are what they are. I think people will be doing okay.
Jason Miller was also on the crane dock, converting his boat, the Aleutian Spirit, over to Salmon Seine gear for the season opener.
There you go, down.
He spent the last few winters, and even a few summers, fishing for squid in California. It's been lucrative. But he's decided to try for salmon again here, and is hoping they'll materialize after a few years of weak runs.
I heard the price is going to be much stronger this year because of the demand and the lack of production the last two seasons for pinks and chums.
The Department of Fish and Game is forecasting a strong pink salmon harvest in Southeast, just above the 10-year average. But for seiners and crabbers like Jordan LaPerry, estimates only go so far, and attitude is everything right now.
Hopefully we get at least 10 crab per pot. That's the goal. It's a high goal, but you gotta set your goals high.
The Dungeness crab season opened June 15th, and seiners and gillnetters had their first openings of the summer season June 18th. In Petersburg, I'm Nora Sachs.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Nick Shalino, Avery Lill, and Allison Molenkamp at KDLG in Dillingham. We also had help from Elizabeth Jenkins at KTOO in Juneau and Nora Sachs from KSFK in Petersburg. As always, a big thank you to everyone who helps make this program possible each week, to all the radio stations that air our show, and to you, our listeners. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.